Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode 50 of Your Birth Bestie podcast. Today, we are going to be talking about routine tests during pregnancy, where you go into the lab, they draw your blood and run tests on the things that your provider orders. And the reason why I love talking about prenatal care and giving you this information is because you have the right to know exactly what kinds of tests are being ordered and then decide for yourself if you even want to consent. If you have questions, you can definitely use this information as a conversation starter too with your provider to be sure any concerns are understood and you get all of your follow-up questions answered. Generally, there are two times where your blood is drawn in pregnancy, and it could be less or it could be more, depending on your medical history and what's recommended by your provider. But it also depends on what you want and your values too, and it's important that you are part of these conversations rather than just going along with whatever it is maybe that your doctor wants. Not that anything they are doing is wrong or malicious, just that you are aware of what is happening each step of the way and knowing that you deserve to know that in itself, I think is a good reminder for a lot of us. So there are actually a lot of choices, especially when you are receiving prenatal care within a hospital system that aren't openly discussed with you up front. You usually have to know what questions to ask and prepare for your visits and for your labor and delivery. And I want to help you navigate this experience to be the best that it can be. So if you are interested, you can click on the link in the show notes or head over to bethconnors.com/choices and download my free guide to 15 hidden hospital birth choices I think every pregnant mom should know from their first prenatal appointment to their last. Hey there, I'm Beth Connors, a midwife and mom of two, but also your birth bestie. In this podcast, we'll dive deep into everything you need to feel confident, prepared, and in control, from baby bump to delivery room, from practical tips to personal stories. We'll cover it all so you know exactly what to expect every step of the way. Let's get into it. Let's first talk about why we do prenatal testing in general anyways. And this is because these tests are little snapshots of how your pregnancy is progressing and helps us keep an eye on things to potentially catch any issues early on before they become a problem. It is all about keeping you and your baby healthy and trying to predict any change in the plan of care to hopefully increase the chance of you having the best outcome and the best experience throughout your pregnancy and birth. So the first standardized set of labs we will chunk together as the first trimester lab tests. Usually these are drawn at your first prenatal appointment, and sometimes it might be the second visit. It just kind of depends on the clinic and what your providers, recommend. But the breakdown of what's usually included in this first trimester lab screening are a complete blood count or a CBC, which will give us values about your red blood cells, your white blood cells, and your platelets. And these results will help check for any signs of anemia, infection, or clotting issues. And there's also a blood typing and Rh factor in this same draw, which is really important. And this refers to if you have, for example, A or B blood, and then the Rh factor is that positive or negative piece. So A negative or B positive. Your blood type and your Rh factor can actually play a really important role in your pregnancy, because if you are Rh negative, for example, and your baby is Rh positive, there is a chance that your immune system could actually see your baby as a quote unquote threat if your blood is mixed during pregnancy or at the time of delivery. So this is where tools like the injection Rogam come in handy, which we will talk about another time, but something to look into if you are a negative blood type. In the beginning of your pregnancy, you might be also asked to give a urine sample for analysis to test for any potential urinary tract infections, because in pregnancy, you might be surprised, but actually the typical symptoms of a UTI, if you're familiar with those, can actually go completely unnoticed in pregnancy. So usually at that first visit, when you're in the lab, they will have you give a urine sample and test to see if you have any underlying UTI that you just don't maybe know about yet. There are also lab tests to screen for diseases like rubella, varicella, hepatitis, HIV, and also sexually transmitted infections. If your results come up that you are not immune to rubella and varicella, for example, you have the option to receive those vaccinations postpartum because they are not actually safe to be given during pregnancy for the safety of your baby. So if any of the other conditions too that I mentioned come back positive, you would also have a further conversation about treatment. Other tests that may or may not be ordered, depending on your health history and concerns, include a TSH or thyroid stimulating hormone that will check your thyroid level, a pap smear to screen for cervical cancer, and then the last piece is genetic screening. And genetic screening is something that you can decide whether you want to go through with this or if you'd rather, you know, hold off. And some families really do struggle with whether or not they are interested in genetic testing for various reasons. So I did actually dedicate an entire episode to this topic about genetic screening and your options in episode 45 of this podcast, and really how to determine if this would be a good option for your family. So these tests can be done as early as 10 weeks with those initial lab draws in the first trimester, but you can also add on genetic testing at any point in your pregnancy. So this is always an option too. The next set of routine labs in pregnancy are at the end of the second trimester or beginning of the third trimester between weeks 24 and 28. A complete blood count, or that CBC we were talking about before, would also be recommended again to follow up and compare those baseline values from earlier in pregnancy. And at this point in pregnancy, we are looking for the same things mentioned before, especially assessing for any signs of anemia or low hemoglobin. Sometimes it is recommended to eat more foods that are high in iron, or maybe even supplement with iron tablets to replenish your body if you are slightly anemic, and hopefully increase your blood levels before you deliver. And anemia can make you feel really tired and weak, can actually make you look pale, feel shortness of breath, dizzy, and actually women have been known to crave ice sometimes, and this is called pica. If those things are happening to you, there could be a chance that you are anemic, and it would be interesting to see what your labs would show. It is so important to care for our bodies during pregnancy and to be mindful of anemia because there can be an increased risk to baby's growth, possibly lead to preterm delivery, or even lengthen the time that it takes you to recover postpartum and make that process just a little bit more difficult. So knowing these values ahead of time and getting that complete blood count to hopefully, you know, negate any of that from happening in the first place would be a really great thing to prevent. The other test that will be offered around this time is that screening for gestational diabetes that so many moms talk about because of how yucky that Glucola drink tastes, or maybe they just don't want to take anything really sugary because it would make them really nauseous, or they're not sure about the ingredients in the Glucola test. So there's all sorts of different things that women are talking about this gestational diabetes test. And I do talk a lot more about gestational diabetes in episode 19 of this podcast, where I talk about the possible risks of gestational diabetes, about the different options that you have when it comes to testing. I know some of you have heard about ingredients in the standard hospital-offered Glucola drink and might feel uneasy about taking that, so I did want to be sure to have something available to you to explain alternatives. And two of those alternatives that I can just quickly mention here are the Fresh Test, that's like a lemonade powder that you can drink. It's 50 grams of sugar, has more natural ingredients than the Glucola drink. And also there is a way that you can monitor your blood sugar at your own home, track your blood glucose level that way by those finger pricks. So there are other alternatives to the Glucola test that I do talk about more in another episode. But just another example of the fact that everybody has a preference and you really deserve to know all of the information and all of the options out there to make that best decision for yourself rather than your provider just ordering a test and kind of telling you the next steps as they're happening and not giving you much information ahead of time to make your own decision. And then the last thing I just wanted to call out so you are aware of the timeline around this test to have the chance to make a decision on what you want to do before you are put on the spot, like so many women are. And this is that group B strep vaginal rectal swab around 36 weeks. And this is like a Q-tip swab that is gently collected along your vaginal wall and then into your rectum very slightly to see if you are testing positive for this group beta strep bacteria. And GBS is a normal flora in the vagina in about 30% of women, actually. 30% of women test positive for GBS. And the standard treatment for these women is to give them IV antibiotics every 4 hours during that active labor stage. And I talk more about this also in another episode, episode number 17. So for more information about GBS, you can listen to that episode next. But you can choose to test for GBS and to treat that if positive. You can choose to test and to not treat if positive. Or you can choose to not even test at all, which then you would not treat at all either if you don't want. So just want to be sure that you are always aware of the options that you have and why each intervention or tool is being recommended to you specifically. You are not just another number. You have unique needs medically and personally, and I hope you have individualized, women-centered care during your pregnancy and birth experience because you absolutely deserve nothing less than that. So that concludes our episode on routine blood tests in pregnancy, and I hope what I have shared has helped you feel a little more informed about any remaining tests that you might be considering. If you're maybe a little bit nervous about needles, I also wanted to reassure you that 2 blood draws would hopefully be all that's recommended for you, and then anything else would be on a case-by-case basis. Being mindful of things like the genetic screening tests, and if possible, combining all of those tests into one lab session could be a helpful tip for you if you are wanting to limit, you know, the pokes that you're getting and also the trips to the lab with your busy schedules. On the topic of needles too, you are not required at all to have an IV in labor either. These are all choices, and I talk about all of these different choices in all of my other episodes too, giving you as much information as possible to uncover any hidden information or choices that you didn't know that you had, and then helping you navigate all of these things as well. So don't forget to download my free resource about choices in the hospital at bethconnors.com/choices if you haven't already. And thank you so much for tuning in today. I will be back here again next Tuesday, and I would love for you to stick around too. Bye, everyone.